Morning. Today's daf in Hori Yosef's daf test. So we're starting today the Mishnah and Chesamud Beis. A lot of information is going to be flying in our direction today based on the Mishnahs and the Brises that we're going to be covering. God willing, we'll be finishing the second parak of the Masechta today. And just the balance of this week to finish off the remainder of this Masechta. The third parak will be covered over the courses of tomorrow through Shabbos. Shabbos is daf, as you'll see, is very short. In fact, we'll look to finish the Masechta on Friday. The Mishnah over here is going to be detailing who is going to be chayv what karbanos. Again, let me just give a very, very quick rundown of all the various considerations that we have regarding karban chatos. Karban chatos is presented us in the Torah, in Parshas, primarily in Parshas Vayikra, Perek Dalin, Parakim Dalin Hay, and a little bit in Parshas Shlach, there in Perek Tezvav. Of Sefer Bamidbar. And Perek Dal and Behei, so let's start with Perek Dal. Perek Dal, we have a Perek dedicated to what happens if a person violates one of the Yisuri Karis of the Torah, and he does a Bishogit, he does a state in a state of unawareness, of being inadvertent. So under those circumstances, he can bring a Karban Chatos to be Mechaper. The Torah there outlines, delineates, I'm not going to go through the Psukim, but I'll just give an outline of the Perek. In the fourth parak, the Torah starts off with a Kohen Gadol. A Kohen Gadol who violates the Torah, so he's going to be bringing a par. As we learned together already a number of times, the Kohen Gadol is only going to be bringing a special Karban Chatos if first he issues a Psak, a Horah, and then he follows his Horah. Then and only then, under those circumstances, he's going to be bringing a special Karban par. The next thing that's discussed in the Torah over there is the Sanhedrin, the Beis Din. If they issue an erroneous ruling, and the majority of the people follow that erroneous ruling, so under those circumstances, a special carbon is brought. That's the Parhelm Davishel Tzibor. The next carbon discussed over there is the Nasi, the king. King violates the Torah, so he brings a special carbon chatas, and that is the Seir. And then finally, the Torah in Perek Dalid details and outlines what happened if a person violates a regular person, meaning not a king, not a Kohen Gadol, not the Sanhedrin, but just a simple regular person of the Jewish people were to violate any one of the Yisuri Kares. So for that individual, he brings a Karban Chatos. Karban Chatos over there is either a Kisva Seira, either a female sheep or a female goat. That is all Perek Dalin in outline form. Then the Torah moves on to Perek Hay and discusses other various Karbanos that are brought by the Jewish people under other circumstances. The Torah there talks about a carbon olaviyareit, an adjustable carbon chatos. Adjustable carbon chatos for three surim in the Torah there outlines where if a person either suppressed testimony or went into the Beis HaMikdash while in a state of being tamei, or shvuas bitui, made a false oath, under any one of those circumstances, the person violated any one of those three surim in the Torah. So, and he does so for the most part, inadvertently, although for Shmias Kol, it's true both for Mazen and for Shogeg, but for the most part, inadvertently. So then the Torah requires that the person bring a Karban Olav Yared. It's a Karban Chatos, but what the Torah does is that the Torah allows an adjustment based on your economic status. If you're wealthy, you'll bring an animal. If you're poor, you're going to bring a pair of birds. And if you're Dali Dalos, if you're really poor, you're going to be bringing a Mincha offering. Then the Torah over there in Parakeh outlines in details the various ashamos, the carbon ashams. Carbon asham, very similar to carbon chatas. In fact, it more or less operates in the same manner as the carbon chatas. Carbon asham, however, comes from a male animal, not a female animal. But again, our purpose over here, not to go through the details, just the basic outline of the carbonos. The carbon asham, there are five ashamos that are mentioned over there, of which some of them are, let's say, for example, nasham ila, nasham gzela. But anyway, the ashamos. And one other carbon asham that's mentioned over there is an asham talui. Asham talui means a person may or may not violate one of the Yisuri Kares, meaning there are two pieces of fat in front of him, chelev and shuman. I'm giving the classic example. And he eats one of those two pieces, he doesn't know which piece he ate. So under those circumstances, that person has to bring an Asham Talui until he finds out whether or not for sure he ate the Karban Chelev, at which point he's going to bring a Karban Chatos. Okay. That is all the Karbanos that are brought vis-a-vis the Parakim of Perek Dal and Perek Hay. With all that stated, now let's go through our Mishnah, because our Mishnah is basically going to fill in all the gaps. Meaning, what if you're a Nasi, do you bring a Asham? What if you're a Nasi, do you bring an Asham Talui? What if you're a Nasi, do you bring an Olav Yared? Etc., etc. So in other words, basically what our Mishnah is going to do is it's going to cross every T, it's going to dot every I, and it's going to go through the details of who is responsible to bring what carbon? We start off with the Mishnah, Ein Chayav, and we're talking here about the Beis Din. Ein Chayav and Al Shmias Kol V'Abitus Shoshayim V'Altumas Mikdash V'Kadashim. The Mishnah could have just simply said that the Beis Din is not required to bring a carbon olav yared, meaning that if they issued an erroneous ruling regarding anything that has to do with carbon olav yared, the Isurim of Shmias Kol, suppression of testimony, B'Tus Shfasayim, a false oath, or Tumas Mikdash V'Kadashim. So they issued a ruling, an erroneous ruling on any one of these points, and the majority of the Jewish people follow their ruling on any one of these issues, they are not going to be subject to bringing their special par, because they don't bring a par on a carbon olav yared. Now, to the question of why, so we're going to see some of these are going to be darshaned through the Gemara, and some of them are just simply the Gemara is going to just leave as just a statement of fact. Nasi, now we turn to the king. So, Kayotze Behem. So that's going to have the same status as the Beis Din, meaning a king is not going to bring a carbon olav yared. Div Rav Yossi Aglili, that is the opinion of Rav Yossi Aglili. So therefore, according to Rav Yossi Aglili, a king has the same status as the Beis Din, not subject to the carbon olav yared. Rabbi Kiva Omer Nasi Chai Bekulan. Rabbi Kiva disagrees. He says that a king does bring the carbon olav yared, chutz mishmias kol, with notable exception of shmias kol, suppression of testimony, for a very simple reason. Sha'amelch lo dam v'lo dan enoso, lo me'id v'lo me'id enoso. Because a king is simply not part of the judicial process. A king is not going to go and testify. The king will not be testified about. And if you remember, the second parak of Sanhedrin, it's nice, by the way, two second parakim. Second parakim of Horio, second parak of Sanhedrin. If you go back and remember the second parak of Sanhedrin, so you remember that we noted that there was a separation between monarchy and the judicial system. However, if you can hearken all the way back to the second parak of Sanhedrin, so the Gemara over there was a little bit more detailed, and the Gemara noted that this is true for Malchi Yisrael, not necessarily true for Malchi Yehuda. The kings of Yehuda are in fact subpoenaed and go to court and testify and are testified about. So our Mishnah over here is a little bit difficult. The Gemara doesn't pick up on this, but our Mishnah over here is a little bit difficult because our Mishnah says seemingly, categorically, that the king is excluded from the carbon olav yared of Shmias Kol, when meanwhile the Gemara in Sanhedrin only really limits the king's non-involvement in the Beis Din only to Malchi Yisrael, not to Malchi Yehuda. Okay, that demands attention. It demands a little bit of an answer. But in the meantime, however, we continue in the Gemara. I'm ruling my time into Rav Yossi Aglili. So what's the basis of Rav Yossi Aglili? Meaning Rav Yossi Aglili is of the opinion that a king is not going to be required to bring a carbon olav yared. Why should that be? Amakor, the Torah says that it's based on the pasuk. Vaya ki yesham la'achas me'ela. When the Torah introduces us to the carbon olav yared, the Torah says the person is going to be obligated le'achas me'ela. So, I'm sorry, kol shem mischai va'achas, mischai v'kula. And ein mischai va'achas, ein mischai v'kula. So the Gemara offers the following suggestion. The carbon olav yared and the three surim that are related to the carbon olav yared are a package deal, it's a bundle. If you can be obligated in one of them, you'll be obligated in all of them. And if you're exempt from one of them, you're going to be exempt from all of them. So since the king is going to be exempt by Shmias Kol, everyone agrees to that. In other words, because again, I'm going to say the Mishnah Kipshuto. A king is not involved in the judicial process. And therefore, the king is not going to be asked to testify. The king will not be testified about. So since he is going to be excluded from Shmias Kol, therefore he's going to be excluded from the other two that require the carbon olav yared. The Ema, the Gemara says, okay, but why don't we make the argument, Mischai ba'achas, mehen va'afa pishein Mischai ba'kulan. No, why don't we simply say that a person, meaning, let's go back to the pasuk that the Gemara quoted. The pasuk of the drush was, Vayaki yasham la'achas me'ela. A simple way to darshan the pasuk is that you just simply have to be required to bring one of them. Meaning, from the language of the pasuk, it doesn't sound like it's a bundle, doesn't sound like it's a package deal. As long as you're required to bring one of them, that would be sufficient. Ela time of the Rav Yossi Aglili mi'achad d'tanya. So the Gemara says, no. We have to approach this a different way in terms of explaining Rav Yossi Aglili. And it goes like this. The Braisa says, Hayar Rabbi Yirmiya Omer, Ne'amar. We turn to the top of Testament Aleph. Lo sagia yado. V'ne'amar. Lo sasig yado. Regarding the carbon olav yared, the Torah describes, well, if he becomes impoverished, meaning, again, the whole chiddush of the carbon olav yared is that it's adjustable based on your economic status. So misha bali de anias v'shiros, yatzar nasi hamashiach, she'ein bali de anias. So the Gemara says, well, let's say you know you're not going to become poor. Now, for you and for me, there's no knowledge of such an event. That we're wealthy, we're always going to be wealthy, right? In fact, the Gemara, a number of places, talks about money being this wheel that turns, where you're going to be wealthy, you're going to lose the wealth, your kids will lose the wealth, your kids will gain the wealth, meaning money comes and goes. And so, therefore, for you and I, there is never any kind of assurances whatsoever that we're wealthy, we're going to remain wealthy. However, there are assurances for both the king and for the Kohen Gadol. A king is going to be wealthy and a king will always be wealthy. That's the nature of being the king. Or as the old expression goes, it's good to be the king. And as far as the Kohen Gadol is concerned, also, he has assurances and guarantees that he's going to be wealthy and he's going to remain wealthy. The Gemara says, and how do I know that? Nasi dichsi, the Gemara goes over both of them. The Gemara says, regarding the Nasi, the Torah says, v'asa achas mikol mitzvos Hashem elokav. Mi she'in agabav ela Hashem elokav. When it comes to the Nasi, the Pasuk says the Pasuk by the carbon chatas says, v'asa achas mikol mitzvos Hashem elokav. And the Misha'in al-Gabav Ela Hashem Elokav. And the only one above him is Hashem Elokav. So, meaning that's the Melech Yisrael. So, and the king is never going to lead to the, never going to enter the point of poverty. And Mashiach, and as far as the Kohen Gadol is concerned, the Kohen, in order to be nominated as a Kohen Gadol, one of the prerequisites of becoming the Kohen is that you have to be Hagadol Me'echav. You have to be superior. And superiority over here reflects in many ways. Shehu gadol me'echav benoi, you have to be superior in both in your appearance, bekoach, and also in your physical strength, and bechachma v'osher, and in knowledge and wisdom, and also in wealth as well. Acherim amrim, now the acherim, this is another opinion of the Braisa. It could be that over here the acherim is just simply a supplemental point to the Tanakhama. But in any event, minayin shehim ein lo gadleihu mishel achav. Let's say he doesn't have. In other words, he doesn't have the financial wherewithal. So Galei Mishalachav. So therefore, to become the Kohen Gadol is therefore required by the other Kohanim to actually finance him and to provide him the means. So Tamalam Rav Kohen Gadol Me'echav Asher Yitzak Al Rasho. Gadleu Me'echav. He's going to be elevated from his brothers. Meaning, it is a requirement for the other Kohanim to actually elevate him financially so that he has a wherewithal. So basically what we just concluded is that the king is going to be financially secure and always remain financially secure. And the Kohen Gadol, same too, is going to be financially secure. The carbon olav yared is only shaykh for an individual who has an ability to fluctuate between being wealthy and being poor. Since the king and the Kohen Gadol never have that fluctuation, therefore they're never required to bring the carbon olav yared. Ba'mine Ravina Merav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. The following question is asked from Rav Nachman Yitzchak Nasi Shnitzara Mahu. Let's say the king is subject to becoming a Mitzora. And therefore what? The Gemara is not perfectly clear exactly what it's asking right now. I turn to Rashi. Rashi writes, Mahu. I'm sorry, let me back up one Rashi. Nasi Shnitzara. Rashi is on the, I'm reading Rashi right-hand column. Nasi Shnitzara Rashi L'Rabi Yemel L'Rabi Yosek L'Lu Da'avar Minisiyah Suso. What happens if he has saras is that he is deposed. Shein Raliyos Melech Kishu Mitzorah Kedamin Lakamen Beperek Beis Vayinaga Hashem Asa Melech Vayim Mitzorah Ad Yom Asov Vayeshev Beis Hachavshis Demashva Shenase Chavshim Emachuso. A king with saras is going to be deposed from his throne. We'll be talking about that in tomorrow's daf. In the meantime, Mahu Mi Amrin, and Rashi explains now the Gemara's question. Meaning, he violated the Isser, any one of the Isserim that we're describing. Shmias Kol, Bitus Vasayim, Tumas Mikdash Vekadashav. He violated that Isser while he was a king. As a king, he's exempt. But now, he is deposed. Do we say that Achshav Kishinistar Da'avar Menisiyaso Lechayev, that maybe his exemption is only a temporary suspension of the carbon, but once deposed, now he's obligated. So the Gemara says, or maybe no. Maybe that now, that once, since he, I'm sorry, when he was the king, he was exempt from bringing the carbon, that exemption now cancels it out in total. And therefore, he's not obligated to bring the carbon at all. This is the way Rashi presents the question. In fact, if you go on to the next words of the Gemara, it really seems to support this pshat of Rashi. Look at the next words of the Gemara. Mit chedachi o miftar patir. Is it pushed off or is it totally exempted? Okay, so in other words, and the way Rashi presents it, the question of the Gemara now is that as a king who is deposed, and the Gemara's reason over here is because he had tzaras, whatever the reason is, he was deposed. So now, is the obligation of the carbon gonna come back? Because now, as he's no longer the king, he no longer has the ability to remain wealthy. So that's the Gemara's question. Amar Leh. Now the Gemara's answer also is really, really brief and really vague. I'll read the wording of the Gemara. Amar Leh. Dilach o de Gaza. I'm going to translate the words literally. Is it your money or is the money coming from the treasury? That's the Gemara's answer. Once again, it's really not clear what the Gemara is answering. Let's take one more time. Let's go back to Rashi. Let's see how Rashi explains the Gemara's answer. Mi mai kabayis, I'm reading the Rashi. Amar Leh. Mi mai kabayis lichayuv alasu ye karban kishin itzar mi mamon shochal mi mamon de gaza dide. Havi omer mi gaza dide hu debay lasuye. Meaning, when now paying for this carbon, where is the money coming from? Is the money coming from you or is it coming from his treasury? The kevan de meaning it's a rhetorical question, explains Rashi. It's coming from his personal treasury. The kevan de migazi dide kabay asue, amatala hachi patala gamri, mikarbon olaviore. The way Rashi explains it is that he is going to be exempt. Why? The hachi kam, Rabbi Yomi, of Rabbi Yossi. Yasin asu mashiach she'en bali de anios. His treasury is still going to be intact, and therefore he remains wealthy. Therefore he's going to be exempt. Rashi is admittedly a little bit difficult, because Rashi somehow understands that when the king, even as he's deposed, is still going to have a connection to the treasury, and maybe, I say this in somewhat jest, maybe he's got some sort of pension as the past king. Unclear exactly financially how it works for a past king, but the way Rashi seems to explain the Gemara is that he's still guaranteed of some sort of wealth, and therefore the reason for the exemption still exists, and therefore he remains exempt even as a deposed king. Admittedly, the pshat of Rashi is really difficult, because you can make the argument just the opposite. As a deposed king, he no longer is in the position of financial dominance over the people, and therefore you can make the argument that he no longer is able to guarantee his own wealth, and therefore he should be obligated to bring a carbon. In fact, what I just said is the pshat that's offered by other Rishonim. In fact, take a look at the Tosfos Rush, where what I just said is what really he says. In fact, I got it from him. So Perish Rashi, if you take a look at Tosfos Rush is on the daf, it's on all the way on the left-hand column, so he quotes Rashi's pshat, and I'm going to skip a little bit, V'lo nihira laharama. And he says it's not clear to the Rama. Rama over here, not Rav Moshe Isserles, but one of the Rishonim. Obviously, it's a Rishon. The Tosfos HaRosh is quoting it. Tosfos HaRosh is one of the later of the Balei HaTosfos. He's quoting the Rama. Obviously, Rama is an earlier Rishon. We, unfortunately, it's an interesting historical footnote. It's a sad historical footnote. We have lost many of the commentaries of the Rama on the Gemara. We only have left remaining of his writings. We have his writings on Sanhedrin, and I think Baba Basra, I think. But for sure we have it on Sanhedrin. So, but anyway, but we lost a lot of his writings. But you're going to see the other Rishonim quote him. Like, here's a good example. Tosfos HaRosh is quoting the Rama. So, V'harei eino bali dein azval. I'm sorry, V'lo nihir la Rama azal. Da'af ha'pishyesh la mamon harbe yachol lavo lidei anius. Kevin shu avar mimachuso v'ein biyado likach me'am ha'aretz. Masim. The Yad Rama explains the Gemara the way that I presented, meaning the exact opposite of Rashi, where as no longer the king, he no longer is able to tax the people, he's no longer able to guarantee his own wealth. Yeah, he may have a severance, and he may have a severance package, and he left as being king with a good amount of money, but so what? You could lose all that money. It's easy to lose all that money. So he says just the opposite. In fact, he says that because he no longer has the ability to tax the people, therefore he has the potential of becoming poor, therefore he's going to be obligated to bring the carbon olaviyori. Okay, and if you go on in the Tosfos HaRosh, which I'm not going to do, so you'll go on to see that the Tosfos HaRosh does in fact defend Rashi, but we're going to go back to the Gemara. We're going to continue in the Gemara. We're on Tesa Manalef. We're towards the top of the Amud, and Tanya. We're starting now with another braisa. Okay, it's about 15 lines from the top of the Amud. It's the third word in the line. Tanya, Rabbi Kiva Omer Patam Mikulan. Rabbi Kiva Omer Mashiach Patam Mikulan. We're talking now about the Kohen Gadol, and we're still talking about the Karban Olav Yared. And the Kohen Gadol is going to be exempt from all of the Karbanos of the Olav Yared. Amar Rava Maitam to Rabbi Kiva. Now, we already explained the reason behind the king, meaning again, by the king it's subject to a debate, whether we know the king is going to be exempt from Shmias Kol, because he's not part of the judicial process, but the king, whether he's going to be obligated in the other two, is subject to a Machlokas Tanaim. But now we're talking about the Kohen Gadol vis-a-vis the Karban Olav Yared. So Amar Rava Maitam to Rabbi Kiva. So Rabbi Kiva says that he is going to be exempt from all the Karban Olav Yared. Amar Kraze Karban Aaron Avanav. So the Gemara offers the following explanation behind Rabbi Kiva. We know that a Kohen Gadol brings what's called the Minchas Chavitim, a daily Mincha offering that's offered by the Kohen Gadol. And the Torah then, when describing it, this is in last week's Parsha, by the way, when the Torah describes it, says, Zeh Karban Aaron Avanav. This is the Karban of Aaron Avanav. And the Gemara Darshan, Zu Ba'achovalo, Ve'in Achers Ba'achovalo. And this is the only Mincha that he's going to bring as an obligation. Meaning he does not bring any other mincha as an obligation. Even if he is required to bring another mincha as an obligation, he simply does not, because zeh. This is the carbon mincha, this is the only carbon mincha that he brings. So ve'ema, the Gemara said, Dechim ema'le rechman medali dalos, umayniyo asiros ha'ifa. So aval aniyos ve'ashiros lo mi'atei rechmano. So the Gemara says, well, I don't understand. That's okay. As we have already explained, the carbon olav yared is a fluctuating carbon, it's a variable carbon depending on your economic status. So it's true that the Kohen Gadol is going to be exempt from the Dalei Dalos, the lowest, the poorest level of the carbon, which is the Mincha. But in other words, Dalos brings a pair of birds, and Ashiras brings an animal. So why don't we say that the Kohen Gadol, if he violated any one of the carbon Olav Yareds, so maybe he should bring either the Ashir or the Dal. Okay, you're telling me he's exempt from Dalei Dalos. So what? The Gemara says, Lo Sakadach, the Gemara says, no, that is not a tenable position. When the Torah then summarizes the carbon olav yared, the Torah says that the Kohen is going to bring this as a kapara, asher chata me'achas me'ela, because he violated any one of these. Ha miskaper be'achas, miskaper be'kulan. She'in miskaper be'achas, in miskaper be'kulan. And that means to say that, in terms of the three levels, it's all or nothing. I mean, you have to have the ability to bring any one of those three, and if you cannot bring any one of those three, you can't bring any one of them. Since the Kohen Gadol is exempted from bringing the Dalei Dalos, the lowest, the poorest version of the Karban Olav Yared, he therefore is also going to be exempt from bringing the Dalos and the Ashiras. Elamiata, the Gemara says, if that's true, Dichsiv, the Pasuk says, Vayak Yesham La'achas Me'ela Hachinami. Kolam mischayev be'achas, mischayev be'kulam. She mischayev be'achas, ein mischayev be'kulam. Alamatanan, Rabbi Kiva Omer Nasi, chayev chutz mi shmias kol. The Gemara says, well, if Rabbi Kiva is in favor of bundling, so the Gemara says, well, we know Rabbi Kiva didn't bundle when it comes to the three averas of Karban Olav Yared. Again, the three averas of Karban Olav Yared are suppression of testimony, false oath, and Tumas Mikdash Vekadosh of violating the Tumah of the Beis HaMikdash. Those are the three. And we said regarding a king is not involved in testimony, so therefore he's exempted, he's excluded from the Karban Olav Yared as it relates to testimony. Meanwhile, the very same Rabbi Akiva says that when it comes to a king and the other two, a king is obligated in the other two. If Rabbi Akiva is in favor of bundling, like we just learned together regarding the Kohen Gadol and the Karban Olav Yared, vis-a-vis the various levels, since the Kohen Gadol is exempt from Dalei Dalos, is also exempt from the other two. So shouldn't we make the exact same argument for Rabbi Akiva? Since the king is exempt from Shmias Kol, he should also be exempt from the other two. But we know as point of fact that Rabbi Akiva does not exempt the Kohen Gadol. Sorry. He does not exempt the king from the other two. So Abaye v'Rav Adami Tavaye. So the Gemara now makes the following suggestion in terms of making a distinction between these two points. So, Abai v'Rav Adami Tavayu, me'achas mashmalei, le'achas lo mashmalei. So the Gemara over here makes a distinction which at this point seems really, really fine. It seems like a fine distinction. I mean fine, I'm meaning really slim. The difference between le'achas versus me'achas. So the Gemara itself, like, is going to basically say, I don't really see that as being the difference. So the Gemara says, what's the difference? So the Gemara explains. So the Gemara explains like this. Because when the Torah says, me'achas me'ela, that is mentioned at the end, meaning, after the Torah goes through, if you're wealthy, here's what you bring. If you're poor, here's what you bring. And if you're really poor, here's what you bring. And then the Torah says, me'achas me'ela, as a summary. So since it says it at the end, so, Gabi asir sa'ifa, lamemr dechol de mechayv, asir sa'ifa mechayv b'kulam. So if you're chayv in asir sa'ifa, you're going to be chayv at all. Meaning, it's not so much the difference between me'achas and le'achas. What really is important, the significant point is placement. Where it's placed in the Torah. Since it's placed at the tail end, after Dalei Dalos, it's as if the Torah is saying they're all bundled together. If you're obligated in one, you'll be obligated in all. But if you're not obligated in one, you're not going to be obligated in all. Isak Adacha, the Gemara goes on to explain. That if you think Mischai V'achas, Afapi She'en Mischai V'kulam, Nichteve Lahai Me'achas Me'ela B'dalos, Inami V'ashiris. If the Torah was interested in teaching us that you can be obligated in one of the levels but not the other level, then what the Torah should have written the words me'achas me'ela is either after Ashiros or after Dalos. By virtue of the fact that the Torah decided to write it after the words Dalei Dalos, it's basically telling us take all these levels and package it together and bundle it together. And once you're exempt from one, you're going to be exempt from the other two as well. Okay, Adkan. So therefore, what do we have right now? As far as a Nasi is concerned, the Mishnah brought in a debate regarding a Nasi vis-a-vis Karban Olav Yared. Mishnah has a debate. In terms of a Kohen Gadol regarding Karban Olav Yared, seemingly there's no debate in the Mishnah. The Mishnah doesn't describe it, but the Braisa that we just learned together does describe it. And the Braisa says that a Kohen Gadol is going to be exempt from a Karban Olav Yared. What is the basis for the exemption of the Kohen when it comes to Karban Olav Yared? By virtue of the fact that he cannot bring the Dalei Dalos, a Mincha offering, and that's we learned that via Drasha, so therefore that it's bundled together with the other two, Dalos and Ashiras. Once you can't bring one, you don't bring the others as well.
So when he does one of these Chataim, then it would be going free without anything?
Going free, meaning he's exempt. He doesn't bring a Karban.
There's no
Karban for him to bring. Next Mishnah, again, a lot of information coming our way via these Mishnayos. We are right in the middle, right, second half of the Amud on Tesamad Aleph. Kol Mitzvah Shabbator Shechayin Az Donan Karis Vashigras and Chatas. So if you have any one of the Averas, where if done intentionally, you'd be subject to Karis. And if you've done inadvertently, you'd be bringing Karban Chatas. Yachid. As far as an individual is concerned, what animal does he bring? Maybe Kisva O Si'ira. Either, in other words, the vav over here does not mean and, it means or. Either you bring a female sheep or a female goat. Anasi Seir, the king will bring a male goat. Mashiach, the Kohen Gadol, and the Beis Din, Mivian Par, they're subject to bringing a carbon par. True of the matter is, by the way, it's a Mishnah, these are all psukim. The Mishnah here is just simply organizing the information and providing it to us in basically a chart form. Uva Avodas Kochavim. Now, if the Avera that's being violated is Avodah Zarah, so now in the Chumash, we're turning the Chumash from Perek Dalet of Ayikra. We're going now to Perek Tezvav of Sefer Bamidbar, Parsha Shlach. Uva Avodas Kochavim Yachid V'Nasi Mashiach Mevin Si'ira. That an individual, or a king, or a Kohen Gadol, if violating Avodah Zarah B'Shogeg, will bring a female goat, Beis Din Par V'Si'ir. And if Beis Din issued an erroneous ruling regarding Avodah Zarah, and the majority of the Jewish people follow that erroneous ruling, par v'si'ir, a bull and a goat. A male bull, that's redundant, but a male bull and a male goat. Par la'ola v'si'ir l'chatas. The bull is a carbon ola and si'ir is a chatas. And again, all these are psukim. The Mishnah here is just giving us the information in a nice, organized fashion. Asham talui. Now, when it comes to the Asham talui, now the Asham talui, as we discussed earlier, Perek Hei of Vayikra, where the Torah says that if a person may or may not have violated any one of these Yisurim, there's a special Asham that's brought. It's called the Asham Talui. Yachid V'Nasi Chayavim. So both an individual and the king would be obligated. Mashiach based in Peturim. But a Kohen Gadol and the Beis Din would be Pater from the Asham Talui. Now the Beis Din is a Drasha that we learned earlier. And the Kohen Gadol, because as we have learned earlier as well, the Kohen Gadol is very similar, super similar to the Beis Din. basically, whatever is true regarding a Beis Din is going to be true regarding a Kohen. Since a Beis Din is exempt from the Ashram Talui, the Kohen is as well. Kohen Gadol, I should say. Asham Vadeh. What about one of the regular Ashamas that are mentioned in Perek Hay? There are five Ashamas in total, right? Asham Gzelos, Asham Ilos, other Ashamas as well. Yachid V'Nasi V'Mashiach Chayavim. Here, an individual, a king, a Kohen Gadol would be obligated. However, a Beis Din would be Pater. A Beis Din would be Pater. Interesting, by the way, that the Kohen Gadol over here is different than the Beis Din. Kohen Gadol would bring an Asham Vadeh. Beis Din does not bring an Asham Vadeh. Meaning, when we say a Beis Din doesn't bring it, meaning that when a Beis Din issues an erroneous ruling regarding any one of these Ashamos Yisurim, and the majority of the people follow it, the Beis Din does not bring their special part. Al Shmias Kol. Now, we're talking about the Karban Ola V'Yorei. So Shmias Kol, Al Bitus Tesayim, Tumas Mikdash V'Kadashav. So, for any one of the Ola V'Yorei Karbanos, which are three Yisurim, which we've gone over before, Beis Din Peturim, the Beis Din is going to be Pater, meaning if they issued a ruling on any three of these Yisurim, and the people followed it, they will not be subject to bringing carbon all of Yared. However, Yachiv and Nasim Mashiach Chayavim, both the individual, the king, and the Kohen Gadol would be bringing the carbon all of Yared. Ela She'en Kohen Gadol Mashiach Chayav Al Tomas Mikdash VeKadashav. But the Kohen Gadol will not be bringing the carbon Tomas the all of Yared on Tomas Mikdash VeKadashav. Divrei Rabbi Shimon. These are the words of Rabbi Shimon. We're going to explain that better as we get to the Gemara. Ma hein mevien. What would the king and the Kohen Gadol bring if they violated any one of these Isurim? So, carbon olaviyari. In other words, they would bring the carbon olaviyari like you and I would. And Rabbi Lazar Omer and Nasi Mevi Seir. And Rabbi Lazar says that the king brings a Seir, meaning if he violated one of the Isurei olaviyari, he does not bring the carbon olaviyari, but he brings the carbon specific to the king, i.e. a male goat. Okay. Tanya. The Gemara quotes a Bryce. Rabbi Shimon Yanosin Klal. Rabbi Shimon would give the following rule regarding the Karbanos of Beis Din and Nasi and the Kohen Gadol. Kol Shehayachid B'Asham Talui. If an individual would be subject to bringing the Asham Talui, Nasi Kayotze Behem. Bo. So the king also would be subject to bringing the Asham Talui. Mashiach Beis Din Peturim. But the Kohen Gadol and the Beis Din would be Pater. V'chol shehu b'asham vadei, anyone subject to bringing the asham vadei, nasi v'mashiach hayotz b'hem, here the king and the Kohen Gadol would bring as well, and Beis Din would be Pater. Shmias Kol, and Bitruis Vasayim, and Tumas Mikdash V'Kadash of the three Yisurim of a Karban Ola V'Yared, Beis Din Peturim, the Beis Din would be exempt, and nasi, mashiach chayavim, the king and the Kohen Gadol would be chayav, el sheina nasi chayav v'shmias kol. With the notable exception, of course, of suppression of testimony for the king, because the king doesn't testify. Or Beis Din Peturim, in all these cases, the Beis Din would be Pater. I'm sorry. Nasi Mashiach Chayavin, El Sheina Nasi Chay B'Shmias Kol. Sorry. V'lo Mashiach, and the Kohen Gadol, B'Tumas Mikdash V'Kadashav, and the Kohen Gadol would not be subject to bringing a carbon Olav Yared on the violation of Tumas Mikdash V'Kadashav. Kol. Shuhu be'olav yared, any iser associated with the carbon olav yared, those are the three, of suppression of testimony and false oaths and tumas mikdash v'kadashav, nasi kayotze bo. And nasi is like an individual, and the Mashiach Beis Din Peturim and the Kohen Gadol and the Beis Din would be exempt. Again, the Kohen Gadol is exempt from the carbon olav yared, as we discussed earlier this morning, because since the Kohen Gadol does not bring a mincha, so therefore, he is not eligible to be bringing the poorest version of the carbon olav yared, and it's bundled. If you're not bringing the poorest version, you're not bringing a poor version, or you're bringing a wealthy version. Ha gufa kasha. However, when analyzing the brisa over here, it seems to be that we are a little bit stuck, because amart ein mashiach chayav b'tumas mikdash v'kadashav. So it sounds like from the brisa that a kohen gadol is not going to be subject to tumas mikdash v'kadashav. So b'tumas mikdash v'kadashav u'depater. So that means to say that there's an exemption from only tumas mikdash v'kadashav. Avav b'shmias kol b'tus esfasayim chayav. But if a kohen gadol were to violate either suppression of testimony or a false oath, he would be chayav. Eim aseifa. The Gemara says, but let's read on in the brisa, because the brisa says kol shuhu be'olav yared nasi kayotze bo and mashiach beis din peturim. Someone who's subject to the olav yared. And a king would be obligated to bring it, but the Kohen Gadol and the Beis Din would be exempt. So Katani Mashiachu Beis Din Peturim. The end of the Braisa says that a Kohen Gadol is exempt from the Karban Ol of Yorid. Ma Beis Din Peturim Mikula. Now we know Beis Din is exempt from all three of the Averas of Karban Ol of Yorid. Meaning a Beis Din is not obligated in any of the Karban Ol of Yorid. So Af Mashiach Patur Mikulam, that which would then, by lumping together the Kohen Gadol with the Sanhedrin vis-a-vis Ol of Yorid, so that means that the Kohen Gadol is going to be exempt from all of them. So now in the Braisa, we are properly confused. Because the Kohen Gadol in the first part of the Braisa is only exempted from Tumas Mikdash V'Kadashav, but are obligated in the other two. But the end of the Braisa seems to indicate that the Kohen Gadol is going to be exempt from all three. Kashen Ahadad. We turn to the top of Tesla base, and that obviously poses now what is called a stira. Amar Avuna Bereda of Yeshua Lokasha, Kambadalas, Kambadalidalas. So the Gemara says that there is no stira. We're talking about, again, there are three levels of the Karban Ol of Yared. The wealthy individual brings a animal, the poor individual brings a pair of birds, and the really poor individual, the Dalidalas, brings the Mincha offering. So the Gemara says that what the Braisa here is doing is actually making a distinction between Dalas versus Dalidalas. Now the Gemara goes on to explain. Now Rabbi Shimon over here, the author of the Braisa is Rabbi Shimon, so agrees with Rabbi Kiva on one point, but not on a second point. Savalak Rabbi Kiva b'dalidalas d'patar. Now with Rabbi Kiva, he's in agreement with Rabbi Kiva that the Kohen Gadol is not going to bring dalidalas. Why? Because of the drasha that we saw earlier, the Kohen Gadol is subject to bringing the Minchas Chavitin. The Minchas Chavitin is a Mincha offering of the Kohen Gadol. When the Torah teaches us this, the Torah says Zeh Karban Aaron Uvanav. This is the Karban of Aaron, meaning that's a miut. This is the only Mincha obligation that the Kohen can bring. The Kohen cannot bring any other Mincha obligation. So as it relates to the lowest form of the Karban Ol of Yored, the Mincha offering, so a Kohen is going to be excluded from that because of the drasha that we just cited. However, Upalag Alei B'dalos. But here's where Rabbi Shimon departs from Rabbi Akiva, where Rabbi Akiva viewed the three levels as a package deal. Once you're exempt from level number three, you're also going to be exempt from levels two and one. Rabbi Shimon disagrees on that point. Rabbi Shimon says, no, I agree that he's exempt from level number three, but that does not necessarily mean that he's going to be exempt from levels two and one. In fact, Rabbi Shimon says he's going to be obligated in levels two and one. So the end of the Braisa that says that he's Patur Mikulan, Kohen Gadol's Patur Mikulan, that's talking about Dalei Dalos. When Rabbi Shimon says that he would be obligated on Shmias Kolon Bituas Vasayim, that's talking about Dalos. That is the Gemara's resolution. Okay. El Shein Kohen Gadol Chayev. A Kohen Gadol is not going to be Chayev on Tumas Mikdash V'Kadashav. Now, why not? The Gemara now goes on to explain. Amar Chizkia on my time. The Rebbe Shimon. Why should a Kohen Gadol be exempt from Tumas Mikdash V'Kadashav? So the Gemara says, Dichsiv V'Nichrusa HaNefesh Ha'im Mitoch HaKal. Because when the Torah describes the Isser of Tumas Mikdash V'Kadashav, the Torah says, such an individual will receive Kares. Mitoch HaKahal. So Misha Karbanu Shaveh LeKahal. Meaning, in order to be eligible to not receive the Issa Kares, but to be lumped together with the rest of the Jewish people, so you have to be someone who is part of the Kahal. Yatzazesh in Karban Hashav LeKahal. However, a Kohen Gadol is not part of the Kahal. Now, in what respect is a Kohen Gadol not part of the Kahal? So, Imkein Nasni Nami in Karban Hashav LeKahal. So, at this point, the Gemara is thinking to itself, well, I know what the Gemara means. It must mean that the Kohen Gadol is not equivalent to the rest of the people because the Kohen Gadol sins, he brings a par, as opposed to the rest of us, will bring either a female sheep or a female goat. So the Gemara says, but if that's true, Anasi also is different. Anasi, if he were to sin Bishogeg, he brings a Seir, not like the rest of us, either a Kisva or Seira. So they get to Gemara's question. Imke Nasi Nami, in Karban Hashav LeKahal. So if the Kohen Gadol is going to be excluded from the Ol of Yared of Tumas Mikdash V'Kadashav because his carbon is unique, so shouldn't we say the same thing regarding the king? Answers the Gemara. No, you misunderstood. Shaveh b'kaparet Yom Kippurim. When we're talking about equivalency over here, we're talking about vis-a-vis Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, how do we receive a kapara through the Seir? How does the king receive the kapara also through the Seir? But when it comes to a Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, how does he receive his kapara? Not through the Seir. he receives his kapara through his part. So the Gemara says, yeah, but that part is not just for the Kohen Gadol, that part in Yom Kippur is for all Kohanim. So if this is the line of demarcation, so then we should not just simply say the Kohen Gadol is off to the side, we should say that all Kohanim should be off to the side. The Gemara says, Kohanim shav lekal b'shar mitzvos d'shana kula. So the Gemara says, well, you're right, but let's attack it from a different angle. Let's talk about the Parhelm Davashel Tzibor. Parhelm Davashel Tzibor, based on issues of ruling, the majority of the Jewish people follow that ruling. So now you bring a carbon, and that's going to be providing a kapara for everybody. And by everybody, we're including Kohanim as well. So the Gemara says, really? Well, do you know who also is included in the Parhelm Davashel Tzibor? So is the Kohen Gadol. Mishiach Nami Ashaveh B'Shar Mitzvos D'Shana. If we're talking about the Parhelm Davashel Tzibor, the Kohen Gadol also receives a kapara of the Parhelm Davashel Tzibor. So Ela Merava Ema Hachiv. So we try coming at it from so many different angles. The Gemara says, how can we look at the Kohen Gadol differently vis-a-vis Tumas Mikdash V'Kadashav? So the Gemara makes another stab at it. So Ela Merava Ema Hachiv. Misha Chatas Oshav Leichidim Umay Nihu Kav. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you how the Kohen Gadol is unique. The Kohen Gadol is unique in the following. When you and I are Chayv Karban Chatas, all we need is Shigigas Maisa. We just need to do an action. Meaning that we forgot that the Torah asks it, or we didn't know which piece of fat was in front of us, and we ate. One of the two. And we ended up eating Chalav. So in other words, for you and I, all we need is Shigigas Maisa. And the same thing is true with the king. And the same thing is true with Kohanim. When it comes to a Kohen Gadol, when is he subject to bringing his special carbon? Only with a hora'ah. He first has to issue a ruling, and then follow his own erroneous ruling. And that's something that's unique only to the Kohen Gadol. That's not true by the other Kohanim. It's not true by the Nasi. It's not true by anybody. Meaning it's only true regarding the Kohen Gadol, and in that regard is unique, and that's why he is going to be exempt from the carbon olaviyarid of Tumas Mikdash V'Kadashav. Rebbe Lazar Omer Nasi may be Seir. Now, regarding what is actually brought by the king in the event that he violated the Isser of Tumas Mikdash V'Kadashav, so Rabbi Elazar says that he brings the Seir, meaning he is required to bring a carbon, but his carbon, meaning the male goat. I'm Rav Yochanan Lo Amar Rabbi Elazar, Ela B'Tumas Mikdash V'Kadashav Ho V'Nemar Kares Bo Kibikavua. Now, it's true that Rabbi Elazar in our Mishnah says that when a king violates the Isser of the carbon olav yard, he brings his special Seir, but that's only vis-a-vis one of the three. Meaning there are three Isurim for Tumas carbon. Sorry. There are three Isurim for carbon olav yari. And only for Tumas Mikdash V'Kadashav is he going to bring the Seir. Why? Because of the three Isurim for carbon olav yari, only one of them has an Isser Karis. Notably, Tumas Mikdash V'Kadashav. Shmias Kol, suppression of testimony, is a lav. Bitu Isfasayim, stating a false oath, is a lav. In other words, they are not in Isser Karis. So when Rabbi Elazar says that the king brings a Seir, it's only for the one Isser that has an Isser Karis attached to it. Amar Rapapa, Hachinami Mestaber. Rapapa says that makes a lot of sense. Isa Kadacha Rabbi Elazar Hakulon Kamar Mechti. Seir Nasi, Par Mashiach, B'makom Yachid Lechatas Kai. So Nisni Nami Mashiach, maybe Par, B'shmias Kol, Ubitu Isfasayim. So the Gemara says, because consider that if you think that Rabbi Elazar was talking about all of them, so the Gemara says, well, if that's true, so then the Kohen Gadol, when the Gemara was describing the Kohen Gadol, so the Kohen Gadol should also should bring for Shmias Kol and Bitu Esvasayim, the Kohen Gadol should bring a par. Ela Midalo Ketani Shema Minah Tumas Mikdash V'Kadash of Kai. By virtue of the fact that the Mishnah didn't write that, it's clear that the only subject matter that Rabbi Elazar was addressing was only Tumas Mikdash V'Kadash. So the Mashiach Pater. And the reason why the Kohen Gadol is left out is because, as we've already established, a Kohen Gadol is going to be exempt from Tumas Mikdash V'Kadasha. So it's Mistabra, it makes sense. I'm Levruna Bered, the Rav Nosson, the Rav Papa Mimai. Dilma Rebbe Elazar Kulon Kai. Maybe no. Maybe when Rebbe Elazar was talking about how the king on Karban Olav Yoreid is going to be bringing the Seir on all three, maybe he meant all three. And Uve Mashiach Savalak Rabbi Kiva Damra Mashiach Pater B'Kulon. And as far as why did the Mishnah not mention Kohen Gadol? Meaning, if the king is going to be bringing a seer on all three, shouldn't the Mishnah then mention a Kohen Gadol vis-a-vis the other two? Meaning, the Kohen Gadol is Pacha from Tomas Mekdash Mekadasha. But maybe the Kohen Gadol is going to be Chayv on the other two. Why didn't the Mishnah mention that? Could be the author of this Mishnah subscribes to Rabbi Akiva, and that a Kohen Gadol is going to be exempt by all three. So Amar Leis Rav Papa says back to Rav Huna Breid, Rav Nasan, Rabbi Akiva, mi pata le mi par. No, I don't agree. Meaning, I do agree that Rabbi Akiva does exempt them from bringing their standard carbon ola v'yared, but I do not agree that Rabbi Akiva would pata them from a carbon entirely. Maybe Rabbi Akiva would say that a Kohen Gadol would have to bring a par in such a situation. The Sulam Media and the Gemara says basically, this is like the Gemara's conclusion of a discussion. I don't want to hear any more about this, meaning that Rapapa's argument seems to be a solid argument, that when Rabbi Lazar required the king to bring a seir instead of a carbon olav yari, that was only speaking specific to Tumas Mikdash Vekadashav. Am Rabbi Yochanan Moda Rabbi Lazar Shein Mivi Asham. Rabbi Lazar says that a king does not bring an Asham Talui. The Gemara brings down the following. Tanitana Kameh de Rav Sheshes. The following brisa was said over in front of Rav Sheshes. Asham Talui Baal Tumas Mikdash Vekadashav. That an Asham Talui is going to be brought on Tumas Mikdash Vekadashav. Meaning that if a person may or may not have violated the Isser of Tumas Mikdash Vekadashav, an Asham Talui would be brought in such a situation. So Amar Leisa, when Rav Sheshes hears the student saying over that brisa, Amar Lachmani. So he's thinking to himself, who's the author of that brisa? Rabbi Lazar Yid Amar Hov and Amar Bokaris Kekavua Maisi Nasi Sira La. Remember that Rabbi Lazar says that if a king violated Tumas Mikdash Vekadashav, so he's going to be bringing his special carbon, a seir. So the Gemara says, of Amar Rabbi Yochanan Moda Rabbi Lazar Shemi Mevi Asham Talui. So, but on that though, Rabbi Yochanan says Rabbi Lazar will agree that he does not bring an Asham Talui on the Isser of Tumas Mikdash Vekadashav. So, So it's difficult then to say that the Brisa is in fact authored by Rabbi Elazar. Gemara concludes by saying Kasha. The Gemara says you're right. That part is difficult, and the Gemara does not resolve the difficult aspect of that Brisa. Hadron lech hora koin Mashiach. That is the end of the second parak. Tomorrow, Mirza Hashem, we begin the third and final parak of the Masechta.